Wonderful. Well, each week as we continue the series on heaven, we've been doing a short answer question and then getting into the topic of the message. And so today I want to raise this question. When you die, at the age at which you die, is it reflected in heaven? In other words, if you die when you're young, when you get to heaven, you will look young. And when you if you die old, you will look old in heaven, and that sort of a thing. And brings up two issues, and I'll talk about both of them. But those of us that may die old, we may think we're going to get cheated. Say, my goodness, I don't want to get locked into eternity looking like this. It'll be like going to a 50th or 40th class reunion and going, what happened to these people? You really want to have some work done, don't you? And so I think it's sort of a, don't you think it's sort of a self-conceited question to begin to worry about your appearance in heaven? But a lot of people have that question. The other thing on the other end of it is babies. Are there going to be babies in heaven if they died as babies? Children in heaven if they died as children? Reflected that way? Back to Isaiah 11. If you take that passage of scripture of the idyllic place when God is reigning and God is ruling, if you do not take it metaphorically, you have a child and an infant playing near the nest and the hole of a snake and never being hurt. So will there be children in heaven? Will there be infants in heaven? Well, the truth of it is, folks, we don't have the answer to that. And there are certain things about heaven that we will simply have to live in the tension of it. Because God has told us everything we need to know, but not everything we want to know. So there's going to be some tension there and some things that we will never, ever know until we get to heaven. But I have some thoughts on it, and I want to share some of those with you. And I want to share some of the things that you will read in history from other religious leaders and pastors. One being Jonathan Edwards. You know him as a pastor in colonial days. He said, I think when we get to heaven, everybody is going to be youthful. By that, I mean he meant that we were going to be full of life and full of joy, and we're going to be youthful. Thomas Aquinas, who was writing in the 1200s, he said, I think when we get to heaven, the final heaven after the resurrection, it's going to be a state of optimal place in our lives where whenever you decided you were the best, you know, that's, you're going to be sort of there. It's going to be the state of optimal, the optimal state. It could be the, like when you were married, you know, when you were married to your bride. Yeah, that's heaven, folks, right there. We put the caption up after we put it up at 8:15 with no caption and nobody knew who it was. The things have not gotten that bad. But, you know, I don't think that age is a factor in heaven. I think it's ageless. And I think with whatever God does, it's going to be absolutely wonderful, and we're going to be absolutely full of joy. And I want to say to you, don't worry about how you're going to look. You're going to be the best you've ever been, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. But there is a passage of Scripture that I sort of hang my hat on, and it's in 1 Corinthians 15. You know that's the chapter of the resurrection. But it says in four verses there, beginning with verse 35, this. Some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, you just plant a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Isn't that what he did with Adam and Eve? And you and I are going to have a resurrected, immortal, spiritual body. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. I think it's an ageless concept, which is very difficult for us to understand in locked-in age and locked-in time. But it's going to be great, folks, so don't worry about it. If you've got a few wrinkles and a few things that you want to get rid of right now, I imagine they're all going to go with a resurrection. Be happy. Today, we're going to look at reigning. The theme, of course, as we've worshiped today has been reigning with God. God reigning. Last week we looked at rewards. You know, both of these topics are a little tricky because they're hard to deal with when you begin to think about how that will be understanding what we understand right now. And I said, when it comes to rewards in heaven, I think it has to do with something to do with bringing glory to God, and I think it has something to do with our own capacity, for joy and blessing. And so if you missed the sermon last week, you can get it online, and I encourage you to do that. But today we're going to move on and talk about reigning in heaven, the concept of reigning in heaven. Now, I was a history major in college, and so I had my feel of reading about the Habsburgs dynasty and the Tudors of England and the Tsars of Russia and all the dynasties of China. I also know about the emperors of Rome, and many of you do as well. And having studied the Old Testament, I know about the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Here's the bottom line for me, having studied history. Having looked at all of those dynasties and looked at those rulers, there are too many that were bad and very few that were good. That's the bottom line. Many of those that reigned, many of those in the dynasties, many of those who had responsibilities over people, they were incompetent. But most of them were spoiled, most of them were arrogant, most of them were abusive, and all of this took place in history, and you know that's true, and it's, as the old adage says, power corrupts, and it does. And very rarely did you run across a good ruler in history. And so when you think about that, and when you think about the track record of history and what people have done in places of ruling, you go, and we're going to rule in heaven? Please tell me that's not going to be the case. I don't think I'm capable of ruling, you may think at this point, and you certainly don't want some of you ruling over me. And so is heaven going to be heaven if that's the case? Let me tell you something. This is not something we came up with. It's the same thing with rewards. This is not my thought. It is the revelation of God. It is God who has said to us all through Scripture, there is this issue of reigning, and you will reign. And there are verses in the Old Testament that speak of that. Jesus does it in the Gospels. Paul does it in the Epistles. And then John does it in the Revelation. Let me give you just two illustrations. There are a number of verses that we could read, but let me just give you two. First one's in the Epistle, 1 Timothy 2. It says, if we endure. Now, folks, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you really belong to Him, you will persevere to the end. And if you endure, the Scripture says what? We will reign with Him. You come to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, and John said this when he concludes the Scripture in that last chapter. He says, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. They will belong to Him. We will be fully possessed by God, is what that means. And there will be no more night, and there will be the light there. The light that will be shining is the lamp, and it will be of the King. And the Lord will have us serving Him. And the Scripture says, we will reign with Him forever. That's God's revelation to us. I did not come up with that. You did not come up with that. That is what God has said to each and every one of us. And so when we are fully possessed by God in the position of the final heaven, we will reign with Him. Now, I think that brings up a lot of questions. I think that, and there are some questions that I want to answer. What does that mean? And why in the world would God ever say that we were going to reign with Him? You remember the story in the Gospels when they didn't give her a name. They just said that she was the wife of Zebedee. She had two sons. She may have had more children, but she had two boys that we know of. Their names were James and John. And she came to Jesus one day and she said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, I'd like to ask for James or John, one to sit on the right and one to sit on the left. Well, the disciples were a little indignant when they heard that. But you know, when you think about that, she was on the right track. She just had her timing off. She really thought it was first come, first serve. She knew that Jesus was going to reign. And she also had the concept that we would reign with him. And she just wanted to submit the names of her boys while she had the opportunity. A little off in her timing, but on track with the concept. We will reign with him. Well, the first question that I want to ask is this. Why in the world would God say that we are going to reign with him? Why in the world is that a possibility? Listen to me very carefully. Because that has always been the plan of God, and his plan is going to be fulfilled. When you go back in Genesis and you begin to read when God created the world, what did he do? He created man and he created woman. And he said, I am going to give you a reigning position. And he said, you will do it because I've commanded it. You're going to do it because it is a part of my image. I am a sovereign God and I reign. And so he said to Adam and Eve, I will create you and you are going to reign over all of creation for me. That was his plan from the very beginning. And because it was his plan from the beginning, it is going to be a plan that is going to be achieved. Now there is a verse that I want to read for you. It's in Genesis 1 in verse 26, and it says this. God said, let me catch it here in my Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now notice this, in our image and in our likeness. Now notice what he says, having been in the image of God. And let them rule. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. They are to rule. They were to be the viceroy of God, who is a king and who rules and who is sovereign. And we were to reign alongside of him. That was the purpose from the very beginning. Now notice what happened. Sin entered the world. Adam and Eve failed in the role of reigning 101. They didn't know how to do it. And instead of ruling over creation, they let a creature rule over them. And as a result, chaos and not the harmony that God expected. And as Paul said in Romans 8, when he talks about the creation, he said, we have subjected the creation to futility. We have subjected it to decay. All of this because you did not carry out the commandment of God and rule over creation. What do you think that would have looked like? You know how little of the world we really understand and know right now? Where was Eden? Was it Tigris, Euphrates? Was it somewhere in that part of the country? What would have happened as the progeny of Adam and Eve began to rule, began to fill the earth, began to multiply and fill the earth, expand over the earth, and rule on behalf of God? That was his plan. That was his plan. How was the plan righted? How was the plan righted? It was righted when the Son of God took on human flesh and he came to set up a kingdom. The first Adam failed. The second Adam achieved exactly what God wanted achieved. And so the second Adam came. He inaugurated a kingdom. He set up a kingdom and he reigned and he reigns and he will reign. And the Bible says that he will reign until he has put every enemy and every authority that challenges God. He will reign until he puts everything under his feet. And then he will hand the kingdom to the Father and he will say, Abba, it is exactly as you planned. Here is your kingdom. And God will say, you will reign now, son, and you will reign with the family. You will reign with your people. That's the plan of God. It's always been the plan of God. It was the plan of God in Genesis, and it will be fully accomplished. Now, when you read a verse in Daniel chapter 7, it says that kingdoms will rise and fall. Kingdoms will rise and fall. We know that. and they'll continue to do that. But one day, there will be one kingdom left. It will be the kingdom of God, and it will reign forever and ever and ever. Now, you know that he's reigning right now, but folks, his authority right now is not unchallenged. And there are people who will say, I don't want anything to do with his reign. There are nations that will say, I want anything to do with his reign. But one day he will reign. And that's been the plan all along, for him to reign and for us to reign with him. And so what you have in Genesis is Adam and his bride failing. What you have over here is the second Adam and his bride succeeding. And we will reign with him. Where will we reign? I think we will reign over all creation. You know, we got powerful telescopes right now, and we can see a whole lot of what we can see, but the galaxies and the things that God has created, we don't have a clue all that he's created. And he could continue to create. And what he does, he says, and I'm going to put you in charge so that your reigning with my son will overlap, overdrape the entire creation that I've created. Who will we reign over? We'll reign over people. We'll reign over others. We'll reign over us. We'll reign over creation. May reign over angels, because the Bible says we will judge them. But I think the most important question is, why would God have ever had that plan in the first place? You ever wonder about that? Why would he set it up that we would reign? Why would he set it up that we would be over creation? Why would that be the case? Because of his goodness, and because of blessing. Because whatever God did in Genesis, the scripture says it was good. And then when it was all said and done, they said it was very good. And so it was set up for a positive and good reason. And if you think about final heaven, and what does it mean for us to reign with Jesus in the final heaven? What would that be like? Well, I think what you've got to do is take some cues, not only from Genesis, but from right now. And I think God, with Adam and Eve, wanted them to send out a message of truth. I think he wanted them to have the wisdom of God applied to creation. I think all that he wanted from them would bring good to his creation and bring it to its full potential. But then you think about other places where you begin to glimpse the goodness and the blessing of reigning. Wherever, and we don't see this much, but wherever there has been a ruler who was beneficent and righteous, the people flourished. You can mark it every time you find it in the Old Testament. You can mark it anywhere you find it in the world. When you get under a ruler like that and a leader like that, there is a flourishing, and the people thrive, and the people are brought to their greatest potential. Another way to look at it is this. Jesus Christ came to set up a kingdom, and a king has a territory. And right now, that some of that territory is my life and your life. And so Jesus reigns over my life. I have invited him to reign over my life. Many of you have invited Jesus to reign over your life. And so I want to ask you a question. With that being the case, how is it? Are you blessed or are you hurt? Do you wither or do you flourish? Do you come to your full potential? Or does he keep you down? How is it to have Jesus Christ reign over your life right now? You know the benefits. And wherever you see Jesus reign over a home, it's blessed. It's good. When there is truth there, and when there is wisdom of God there, and when it's done according to the word of God, there's blessing. Same thing is true of the church. And the church says to the Lord, you're the king, you're the Lord, this is your church, we belong to you, we're here to do what you want. Church is blessed. And you know and I know that when we invite him to reign right now over the territory which is our lives, we are blessed. God meant it for good. God means it for blessing. When we rule in eternity with Him, it's going to be for good. It's going to bring blessing to people. And we need to see it that way. It involves responsibility. You know, you think about it, you go, responsibility. I got to go to heaven and I got to reign. I am tired. I thought I was going to be in a hammock. And now I've got to reign. Got to keep on doing responsibility. You're looking at it through the eyes of the curse. Remember, before sin ever entered the world, before a curse was ever spoken, God said to Adam and Eve, you're going to reign like I reign. You're going to bear my image across creation. And you're going to till the garden, you're going to keep the garden, you're going to be a faithful worker. And they would have thrived in that. You're looking at it through the eyes of the curse. It will be no more curse. And I think there's a verse of Scripture in the Bible, the New Testament, chapter 25 of Matthew, that I love because I think it speaks to this. Matthew 25 and verse 23, it says, The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge over many things, but here's the last part that I want you to see. Come. I want you to come now and share your master's joy. Folks, when you do what God wants you to do, and when we get there and we fulfill the assignment, He's not going to just give us joy. We're going to experience His joy. I can't even imagine what it will be like to experience the joy of God. But we will, because we will be in His will, doing what He has always planned for us to do. Now, I want you, as we close, I want you to see that part there that speaks to present stewardship and then the future expectation, which would be reigning. You have been faithful with a few things. Therefore, I am going to give you an opportunity to be over many things. So the question that I have is this. What is He looking for me to do right now? If I am to be a faithful steward so that He can say to me, well done, what is He looking for me to do right now in order that I might be put over many things in the future? Let me give you three ideas, okay? The first is this. He is expecting you and me, who know Him as Savior and Lord, to be a faithful royal priest. You remember the scripture where it says, you're now my possession? Sort of like the Old Testament covenant language. And you are a kingdom. You are a royal priesthood. Now, folks, the royalty deal is coming. Let's just not get too excited about that right now. The royalty part is coming. He's looking for us to be priests. He's looking for you and me to minister according to His wisdom, according to His word, according to His grace, according to His power, so that people are benefited. You know how they consecrated a priest in the Old Testament? You may never have read this. It's in Exodus. They'd kill an animal. Of course, they always kill an animal when they were going to consecrate something. They'd kill an animal. They'd take the blood. And for the priests that were going to be consecrated, they would take some of the blood and they would put it on their right earlobe. They would take blood and put it on the right thumb. And they would put blood on the right toe, big toe. You will hear the word of God. You will do the word of God. You will walk according to the word of God. That's what it represented. We will hear the word of God. We will do the word of God. We will walk in the way of the word of God. That's what He's looking for us to do right now as priests. The second thing I think that He is looking for us to do is this. Wherever you and I have any kind of ruling position, We're to do it in such a way, right now, that we bring blessing, God's wisdom, God's grace, everything, to those that we have responsibility for. Now you think about it. You think about a husband. You remember the curse? It was a curse. God said to Adam, he said, this is the curse. You will rule over her. That's the reality of sin. That is not the way it is done in the kingdom of God. What you do as a husband, you lead your family as Christ led the church. You drape her with love and you drape her with grace. She becomes all that she can be in Jesus Christ. You bring out the very best in that person and in that family. It's the same thing with a parent. A parent rules over their children. You know what I mean? But in doing that, in bringing them the Word of God, in bringing them the example of Jesus Christ, at some point that child says, I want Jesus to reign in my life. Because they see the blessing and the benefit of the reigning. That's what he's looking for. This is Mother's Day. My mother did that. My mother read the scripture to me. She taught me the scripture. She had me in church. She prayed for me. She prayed with me. And I came to the place in my life where I said, I want Jesus to be my ruler. Because the reign of Christ had been extended over my life. Anywhere at work, you have a supervisory role, and many of you do. Everybody under you should benefit. Everybody that reports to you should benefit from what you do. They should be encouraged. They should flourish. They should know kindness. They should know fairness, because you're extending the reign of Christ. And it always is good, and it's always a blessing. If any of you in here own a company, it ought to be that whether they're believers or not, they say, man, I love working here because it's something different about this place, because you extend the kingdom of God. I think every doctor ought to do it over his patients. I think every teacher ought to do it over their class. I think every pastor should do it over his flock. You extend the rule of God because the rule of God is good. And the rule of God brings blessing. That's what it's going to be. That's what it always has been. We see the glimpse of it. That's what he's looking for now. And I think the last thing is this. I think he would say to us, we are to assume a position right now which is absolutely the opposite of the world in terms of ruling. Because the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of the world. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples, and it was in Matthew 20. He said, he called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you guys. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What is Jesus Christ looking for right now? He is looking for us to act like people of the kingdom. And so if you are preparing for a final heaven and reigning with Jesus right now, I would say to you, get a towel and serve and be humble, because that is the greatness of the kingdom right now. Let the greatness of the kingdom that's coming be in God's hand. The greatness of the kingdom right now is that. And I remind you of the words of Zechariah the prophet when he said, he's coming and he's a king and he will bring salvation with him. But he will come gentle and he will come riding on a donkey. First time, not the second time. That's the picture of the kingdom now. That's what he's looking for now. That's the ones who are faithful now. And having been faithful over a few things, he's in charge. When we get to the end, I'll put you in charge of many things. Why? Because it will be the best, and it will bring the greatest blessing. That's my plan. And my plan will be achieved. Achieved because of Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, your plan is absolutely magnificent. It is better than anything we could ever imagine. How could anybody think up this reigning bit to be good? But you've given us evidence of that all through our lives right now. Wherever we see good people ruling and reigning, it was good for the people. And whenever we have Jesus reigning in our lives, in our homes, and in our church, it's good. It's blessing. That's what you intend. That's what you intended from the first creation. That's the way it will be in the second creation. We will reign along with our Savior, along with our King, because it will be the best. It will bring the greatest good according to your plan. Lord, I pray right now that we will be found faithful the way we should be found faithful, anticipating what's coming, living in light of heaven. May we live right now the way you taught us to live, as people of the kingdom of God presently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you reign over your life right now, do you know that you can experience the blessing right now of God, the all-wise God, whose plan was always for there to be a ruling of the right kind and the right people so that there would be blessing? You can come today under the authority and the kingship of Jesus Christ with your life and be blessed as you've never been blessed before. That's why Jesus came, to right the ship, to show us what it really is like to have that kind of ruler over our lives. If God speaks to you today about a decision that you need to make, then make it before you leave. You can share it with me, share it with a counselor, you can go down the hall to the next step room, but if God shows it to you, it's best, and you need to act on it. So let's stand together, let's sing together. You feel free to come. You're welcome to make your decisions. Let's sing before we go.